The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, some of you thought I wasn't going to be here. I made it, just under the wire, as they say. It's another insane day, and they're going to get nothing but worse. I'm talking about not just the people who are doing the research, but the alleged people who are inhabiting our cities, our country, our towns. There are a lot of Americans who have changed. Certainly most everyone who has taken the kill shots has, in fact, changed. I can't tell you how many people have told me that things are just not as they used to be. And it's one of those things that you have to experience to understand. Hello, Admiral Cooper. Welcome back.
Thank you, sir. Good evening.
Is it?
Well, so far, so good.
All right.
We're alive. We're on the right side of the grass.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's true.
I haven't had my kill shot.
You better not.
I'm not fixing to, nope. Most of the people I know in Florida are saying that if somebody comes around knocking on their door to give them the kill shot, they'll be met with their two best friends, Smith and Wesson.
Keep talking, Harry. Hold on one second. I'm doing two things at once here.
Oh, that's okay. What? I could sing, but that would empty your audience right away. That's what I told the choir master when they asked me if I would sing in the choir in church when I was in the Air Force. I told her, if I sing, I could empty the church in about 30 seconds.
Well, that's assuming they'll let you in.
Oh, yeah. I was a Sunday school teacher. I was a youth group leader when I was in the Air Force.
Boy Scouts? You know what that means?
No.
You'd be in trouble now. Look, my opening point, and forgive me, I've got three, four things happening here. I'm trying to wrap up, and I couldn't do it, but I got them now. The change in people, and I think a lot of you listening right now are seeing this, and most of you listening probably aren't vaccinated, and I hate to use that term, but just in a pedestrian sense, I will. People are changing. I know one man, he said, my mother, 61, begged her. She went ahead and got the shot. He said, this is about 2 weeks afterward. He said, she's not the same. She doesn't talk the same on the phone. She doesn't think the same way. She's been changed. So I'm telling you, Admiral, this is going on all over the world. It's not just here.
Yeah.
People are acting whacked out. They are whacked out. I think we can call it mad cow, you can call it Alzheimer's, you can call it whatever you want. It's pre-mental devolution. It's pre-mental decline. We're beginning to see that. It's crazy. And I can point to the spike.
The Manchurian candidate.
That's a good overlay. Here's the point. We just, all of us, vaxxed and otherwise, have to do our best to stay on top of the situation, recognize it for what it is, not what we'd like it to be. We can't play games anymore. This is not a joke. And I know the mainstream media will never go near the stuff that I talk about here and others talk about here.
That's called the lamestream media, lamestream.
No, it's called the Communist Bolshevik Propaganda Front is what it is.
And, yeah, but lamestream comes up quicker. Yeah, they're in the pocket of
They're owned by
the revolution.
Five Bolshevik Zionist corporations own over 95% of all the media. That's not just the news media. That's all of the media.
Period. I know it.
All right. Anyway,
hey, the
here's
media
the deal.
Lost one guy in Chicago. Hmm? You know, I keep in contact with my friends back in Chicago. They're averaging 15 people a day shot and 3 people a day shot dead. Their marksmanship is pitiful. But there was some rapper by the KTS, Dree was his rap name. KTS means kill to survive. He was in Cook County Jail, which is a terrible, terrible place. I was there a long time ago, not in the jail, but I was assistant general manager of a big corporation 2 blocks away. It's a horrible neighborhood. This guy got out of jail. He didn't even get to the curb, and 2 guys jumped out of a car and blasted him, 64 bullets in him. Apparently, they didn't like his rap music.
Well, I suspect there was probably some white powder involved, some other things.
Oh, whatever, something like that. And they never even arrested anybody.
Yeah.
2 guys got back in their car and drove away.
Okay, one of the things I was doing was finishing posting a story on the streets of New York City. Here's a mother and 2 or 3 kids walking down the street. The security cams are recording this. So it's a shocker. And there's a car parked at the curbside. Out of the driver's side steps a black male. He runs around the back of the car, runs across the sidewalk, grabs the 5-year-old son of this woman, wraps him up, runs back to the car, throws him in the back seat, goes to the front, opens the driver's door, jumps in. The mother smartly didn't go after him. She noticed the back window was open on the passenger side. She reached in and grabbed her son and managed to pull him out.
Oh, wow.
This is a video that is, it's, if there is ever a lesson for parents, and I'm talking about these days, your children are never safe, even within arm's reach. This sub animal ran over and grabbed this kid right away from being, it was right in front of his mother.
Jeez.
So you've got to always be aware. He was just parked there waiting, and she never would have seen that kid again. He would have been sold off for sacrificial
that.
Pedophile gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I wonder how many stories like that we don't hear about. This is probably, I'll bet we hear of less than 1%. Many children go missing every year. It's a huge number. Now, a lot of them are captured, recovered, otherwise located. Some are runaways. Some are not. And some are never seen again. So, please. And then there's another video on the streets of New York City. There's another sub-animal black standing out in front of a shop or something. Security cams right on him. And there's a bicycle there in the bottom of the screen, ridden over to the store. Somebody wanted to go and get a soft drink or something. And the name of the victim is French, so you figure it out. They don't care. As long as the skin is white, that's it. So the guy comes out of the store. The black guy pulls out a gun, shoots him 3 times, apparently in the head. Boom.
Oh, God.
This is hate. Okay, this is nothing but hate and executions. And you better get used to it.
Yeah, but it's the white people's fault.
It's
white people's fault.
Yeah, well, whose fault was it for bringing them all over here from Africa?
Oh, that's a long story. And Lincoln wanted to repatriate them back to Africa, but that's a long story for another time. But
all right,
here's
the point. They're dying. And that's by design. It's part of the plan. Most big cities are going to suffer similar things. People are moving out. Disney is moving thousands of employees out of L.A. to Florida because it's safer there.
Yeah, I know. We can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so at Disney World, boy, the security is something fierce. You walk in there, you got to go through a metal detector, and ladies or guys light in the loafers who are carrying a purse or a bag, they go through the bag, they look for everything, and they've got cameras everywhere, and a lot of people walking around are not tourists, they're undercovers, and you just don't hear about crime here at Disney World or any of the big parks here. They take care of things here, and let's face it, they want people to feel safe, so they come out and spend money. It costs a god-awful amount of money to go to Wally World, and they don't want people saying, we'll stay home.
Oh, I understand.
My wife, my son, and my daughter have your annual passes. They can go for free. Yeah, it costs them $800 a year, but the average Joe, I stood there once, I watched a guy in front of me more than once whip out his gold card or his platinum card, $2,000, $3,000 worth of tickets. He's got a family of maybe six, and they're paying for 6-7 days. Just an incredible hit. But people love it because it's well-maintained, it's well-run, and nobody gets hurt. So it's easy to see why they're pulling people out of L.A. That's a big city.
Oh, San Francisco, L.A., there's a mass exodus going on.
Yep.
And by the way, for any of you who are new to the program, if that had been a white who got out of the car to grab the kid, or a white who shot the white guy on the bicycle, I would refer to them also as sub-animals. These people, no matter what color they are, don't belong on this planet. They just don't.
I agree with you 100%. It ain't a person's color or their religion or anything. It's the way they are. If they're a dirtbag subspecies, they just should, hey, bring back the gladiators.
Well, all right, the African nation of Ghana, invited all American blacks to come back to Africa. This is about a year ago. They'll pay for everything. Come home to Africa. So any African Americans here who are not happy here should get the hell out. Same with anybody else. Latino, I don't care. Chinese, Asian, go home.
Or white.
You don't like it? Go home. White,
yeah,
go back to your country of your birthright. Go back to Europe, whatever. Just go.
If you don't
go
like
away.
This country, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. I've been
right,
in this country for a long time. I served 4 years in the Air Force, 12 years in the Coast Guard Auxiliary, went overseas three times at the request of the CIA. I suppose I could say I would die for this country, but I'd rather make somebody else die for this country if we got into some kind of shooting war. But this is my country. This is my birth. Anyhow.
Okay, we've got so much going on. I'm putting up another story. Now we have, this has to do, just, we'll just do this because it's the biggest story of our lifetimes, the attempted genocide of much of the planet. It's huge. It's beyond huge.
Yeah. They want to get down to 900 million.
That's correct. Or less. About a billion. About a billion. That's what the, it's whatever. Okay. Here's the deal. You all, I think, have heard of dark field microscopes and dark field microscopy. Well, that's where they take a sample of someone's blood. You go into a specialist who does this kind of work, and they look at your blood, live blood. Not a quart, just a little bit. They put, but they are able to see it, and record what they're seeing under a dark field microscope. So there's some new video out again of dark field microscopy of the human blood, someone before and after being vaccinated.
Oh.
And I will tell you, I've seen these things before. We've talked about them before. But once again, if you look at the difference before and after, and you don't get scared, you're not above room temperature anymore. You're gone. This is really horrific what those vaccines do. Now, I also put up, and Erica Carlson found the Moderna actual list of ingredients on their patent.
Oh.
And there are 9 or 10 radioactive elements in it. I'm talking radioactive iodine-125, cesium, strontium, etc. Now, what is that doing in this crap? When you look at the ingredients, you will not believe what your eyes are seeing.
Wow.
Patented. Moderna.
I know. I used to work for Big Pharma. My degree is in business administration, so the product is irrelevant. I was trained to just run businesses, so I was in charge of order processing and customer service for a couple of divisions of GD Cyril when they were making hardware,
right.
Scintillation counters and full gamma cameras, etc. And they would patent everything they could and then lock up the patents to where nobody knew what was in them, and which is why they hated for anybody to use grandma's recipe, because they can't patent grandma's recipe. And the markups were absolutely insane.
Right. Well, you do know that if you get the shot, you're genetically altered. And you are a GMO, and the owners of the shot now own you. You do own that. That's a real deal.
Yeah,
once,
it's easy.
As a corporation, you've shot somebody up. You own them. You can make
that
claim.
Does that mean if they alter my genetics, I can't have kids anymore?
No comment.
At 82, I don't think I want to be having any new kids come into the world.
That's a question that is facing and confronting a lot of young marrieds now. Do we want to do this? Really?
Yeah, I'm afraid we know it all too clearly. Our 30-year-old daughter, beautiful young lady with 3 degrees and a great career and got a great partner. I don't know what to call these people anymore. That's her partner,
right.
Her boyfriend, fiance, whatever. They don't want to ever get married. They don't want to ever have any children. And my wife is brokenhearted because she wants grandkids. But Megan says, uh-uh. And her guy, whatever you want to call him, a guy named Micah, nice guy, hardworking young man, clean cut,
right,
straight arrow, neither one want children.
Right. So, well, that's common. That's not unusual. That's common now. I hear that fairly often. And I don't think we're going to see things. They talk about going back to the way they were. That's never going to happen.
No.
And I don't see things getting any better in the near future. We'll leave it at that.
Well, they're certainly not going to go back to the way they were when I was a young guy, when I was a teenager. That was in the 50s. And it's exactly like you see on that TV show Happy Days. It is exactly like that when I grew up in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my buddies could throw together our spare change, come up with a buck, and buy enough gas to go cruising all night chasing girls. And, you know, there was, you could leave your car unlocked. Nobody would touch it. You could leave your house unlocked. This was in the city. Nobody would bother it. But
true.
We've seen it ain't going to go back.
No, the people have changed, and there are a number of reasons for that. But things are just very dangerous now, and you really need to be careful.
That's why I live out in hillbilly heaven here, where we don't have any neighbors to speak of. I can only see 3 other houses from mine.
One of them is a meth lab. The other is a fentanyl importation distribution center.
No,
and the
that's
other
the guy
one is...
That's,
oh, never mind.
That's a guy that's about 100 yards to my left. He's an unregistered pharmacist.
Now, that's good.
And the me and the sheriff is a friend of mine, and I'm working with one of his lead detectives. And this kid, you know, they can't do him, can't find him doing anything because they come by. The detectives work from 9 to 5. This guy doesn't work from 9 to 5. I go take my dog out, Asha, at 4 o'clock in the morning, and there's a steady stream of cars coming and going from his place. They'll drive up, guy get out, go knock on his bedroom window. The window opens, stuff goes past, in and out. Window closes, guy gets back in his vehicle and takes off again. And it goes
just
on
like,
and on and on in the dark.
Just like McDonald's, same thing.
Yeah, right, except just, I think the product's a little costly.
Just the drive up. All
yep,
right, look, that's you know, I, what can you say?
M-I-C-K-E-Y.
Yeah.
Moving
all right.
Along.
So what are we going to do tonight? You're always causing trouble with history, trying to wake people up and make them understand that they've been lied to their entire lives. We do this once a month, and
well, this isn't me waking people up. This was our friend Clark McClellan, who's now passed on. He wrote all this stuff down. And I guess he was fortunate. They took away his pension, and he lived a horrible, horrible last 10 years of his life. But some of the other people that we read about in this book, Space, The Final Frontier, some of these people committed suicide in the strangest ways, which, you know, Dr. Morris Jessup, the guy who was one of the primary scientists in that Philadelphia experiment.
Right.
He committed suicide.
They
That's
don't want
covered
people,
in.
Come on.
Huh?
They don't want people. They don't want people talking, and they just kill people. They, being the control matrix, have no concern whatsoever for human life. None.
No.
It doesn't matter.
No, they
to
don't.
Them. Somebody's in the way, they pull the plug.
The sad thing, they come up with the most stupid damn scenarios, like Vince Foster. Anybody who believes that was a suicide, you know, they're putting out cookies and milk on Christmas Eve for a fat guy coming down their chimney with a sack of toys. Morris Jessup was on his way to meet with Dr. Valentine, who was an incredible researcher. This is in Chapter 9 of the book. He was on his way over to the Valentine's house in... they were both in Miami, different ends of Miami. And he just, instead of going straight to their house, he thought he'd pull into a parking garage, hook a hose to his tailpipe and run it in the window of his car, and then sit there inside the car with the windows closed and gas himself to death. Now, that seems like a pretty doggone elaborate way to kill yourself.
Yep. All right. Hold on a sec. We got to take a break and thank our wonderful sponsors, and we'll come right back with Admiral Cooper and take off on our voyage for the evening. Hold on. Okay, welcome back. Yours truly with Harry Cooper, our monthly visit. Did you look at your email? I sent you that kidnapping video.
No, I haven't. Haven't looked at the emails.
Are you running a chainsaw in the background there?
No, I had just won a solitaire game. Okay.
Is that you want? You're playing solitaire while you're informing the world about reality and the past?
No, I was listening to you sell product.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay, here's the email. I'll check that after we get off the air.
Look at it now.
Okay, look at it now. Here we come. How long is this thing?
It's 30 seconds.
Oh, okay.
Watch this guy. Watch.
I'm having a hell of a time even getting to it.
Just scroll down.
Fox News flash headlines. Oh, there's Jan Psaki. What a clown.
No. You got to scroll down to the video of New York. It's there. You don't see it immediately. Yeah, it's right there.
Oh, yeah, the car.
Okay, now
Richmond Hill in Queens. Yep, there's a guy jumps out of the car, grabs this kid, throws him in the car. Mother reaches in and takes him right back out again. Smart lady. Wow, smart lady. See, now, if this was in Florida, she'd be packing heat, and she could blast this guy right out of his socks.
Right.
Yeah, incredible.
As it should be. And then to top that off, and I want to repeat again, all you parents out there, you never let your kids out of arm's distance. Do not.
Yeah, and it's really sad.
Terrible.
I keep looking back to when I was a kid. At 5 years old, living in Chicago, I walked by myself to kindergarten. I had to walk one block south, four blocks east, and then one block south to the school. I'd do it by myself at 5 years old.
Yeah,
when I
was
10 years old, living out in the suburbs, my buddy Billy and I would take off on our bicycles, and parents wouldn't know where we were as long as we were home in time for the streetlights to come on.
Were you still in kindergarten then?
No, in 10th grade, I was already in college.
I got it. Okay. Here's another one to cheer you up. The National Football League begging to commit financial suicide is going to replace the Star Spangled Banner with the Black National Anthem.
Yeah. I didn't know they were going to replace it. I thought they were going to play both at the same time. It doesn't matter. Once they started kneeling, I tuned off the NFL.
It's done.
Yeah, and I loved the NFL because I went to school with a guy who became the second greatest middle linebacker ever in history, a guy named Ray Nitschke. I didn't know him, but we were in the same high school at the same time.
Right.
And I grew up with a guy named Eddie Obradovich, who played 10 years as defensive end for the Bears. I loved the Bears, and the Super Bowl 20 was the most incredible football team ever to take the field when the Bears just annihilated the Patriots. But now, you know, everybody's got, and they got messages on the back of their helmets. Come on.
Well, that was, you're talking about George Halas.
Oh, Halas owned the Bears back in those days,
yeah.
Papa Bear. And then Mike Ditka took over as the coach, and he was an awesome guy.
Yeah.
But look at him now.
Well, I'm telling you, they just, with that announcement, they probably cost themselves 30-35% of their attendance right then. People won't put up with this. And I mean people of all colors. This is I don't know how many blacks are in America now. What is it, 10%, 13%?
Whatever.
I don't know. It's absurd. I mean, they might as well play the Japanese national anthem. We got a lot of Japanese here, Japanese Americans.
Sure.
Play the Mexican La Cucaracha. It's crazy what they're doing.
La Cucaracha. Okay.
No, I know.
They're trying,
nuts.
And NASCAR ain't far behind them.
Well, that's really hard to believe, but I understand it's true. Yeah.
It is. Well, you remember, 2 years ago, this up-and-coming black driver, Bubba Wallace, there was such a big to-do there. Somebody put a noose on his garage door there at Michigan International Speedway. And one by one, the drivers had to come out. He was stationed out on the front stretch before the race, obviously, and each driver had to come out and give him a big hug. And I'm thinking, what noose? You got ropes on those doors to pull them down. I was in those garages.
That was debunked.
When I was driving super speedways, I was in that garage with my car.
Yep.
Oh, then they found out later it wasn't really a noose. It was just a pull cord.
Well, I'll never forget the police officer washing the feet of a Black Lives Matter activist in public.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That one took the cake for me.
That cop needed to be terminated.
Yeah, I know.
Not
it's all.
Not not killing him, but just fire him. Get him off the job. I know a lot of guys who are on the job, and these are decent, proud, hardworking Americans. Black, white, doesn't matter. I know all of them, and every level, from the city cops on up to CIA, NSA. These are proud, hardworking guys, and to find some asshole like that, I'm sure they all wanted to get him fired.
I know.
Anyhow.
I know. All right, we got to get to work here.
I'm sorry.
Go up to guests, everyone, and you'll see at the top of the page, I put that video up there as a lesson hopefully learned by parents. You cannot take any chances now. And then the second large image at the top of the page, you will see the dark field microscope. Normal blood on the left, and what happens to it, the wreckage after the vax. It's stunning.
Anyhow.
I'm looking at it right now. All right.
Wow. I love these informal, impromptu interviews.
Well, yes, it's called reality radio, right?
It is, and I have fun at it.
Right.
It's been a busy media day. I did two video interviews with Dick Allgaier earlier today.
Oh, yeah.
He's a good guy. He's been a member of Shark Hunters for 6, 7, 8 years, something like that.
Yeah. I've known Richard for a long time. Good
yeah.
Man. Okay, let's see. Go to guests and under Harry's name, click on the link there, and you'll bring up tonight's gallery, which we will launch into right now. Okay. If you've got it, line number one is the cover of Clark's book. And it's a very good cover. Who did that cover?
Daz Smith did that. He's
Yeah,
he's a friend of Dick Allgaier's.
Yeah, he's a remote viewer. Very good. Lives in England.
Right. He's over in England.
Yep. I think I just said that. All right, now edited by Harry Cooper.
Yeah, I
told
him.
You to make your name bigger than Clark's, but you didn't.
No, you can't do that.
I'm kidding. No,
I'm
joking. All right,
Clark was a good guy.
Who got you set up with this whole project? And you did it magnificently.
Thank you. Oh, I guess you'd be the guy.
All right. The most important thing is that Clark's book, which came together, as many of you know, over many years, was a kind of a chapter by chapter. He'd write a chapter, then he'd try and sell the chapter.
Yeah.
He'd write another chapter, and he'd try and sell the next chapter. Well, we finally got all the chapters done, and I said, Clark, you've got to put the book together, all chapters together, and sell it. It's a wonderful book. So
yeah.
We got Harry lined up with this, and he edited the whole thing beautifully, and it flows. You actually did write the book, basically, except for the facts in it. I mean, that was a lot of work.
I tried to make it flow a little more smoothly. Now, let me tell you, Clark was a brilliant guy with 161 IQ, and it was an incredible engineer, but when it comes to putting stuff down on a computer, geez, what a goat rodeo, because he sent all that stuff to me. He had it on discs, and I got some from you. And his formatting changed chapter to chapter, paragraph by paragraph. Some of them had totally different formatting.
I know.
And I went through that book word by word four times to get the damn thing to read straight.
Yeah.
But what he put in that book, the data he reveals, and the photos he provided,
right.
You know, knock your socks off. We'll never get through what's in the book. We won't get through that in our remaining hour and 15 minutes. We wouldn't get through if we had 8 hours a day for a week. There's so much in this book, and including where he calls Obama a traitor. Calls him a traitor right there in the book. And several others, high-ranking government officials, calls them traitors. He used that word 16 times in the book.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and
no arguments
proves
here.
And he out that mm-hmm. these aliens were real, not, mm-hmm. no phony baloney about it.
No. No, I actually, I sent you the whole book at one point. Mm-hmm. I remember. And I looked at it, and I said, my God, Harry's, how is he going to do this? That was really disciplined work you did. I was very glad. Yeah, that. I'm amazed. You pulled it out of the fire and made it. You made it sing.
Good job. I loved everything I was reading in it. It's just incredible because a lot of the stuff I had heard about, but here he's laying it out with hardcore facts. If you look at photo number 4, for instance. There's President Nixon golfing with the great one,
Jackie Gleason,
with that ever-present cigarette in his hand. Gleason and Clark met, and because Gleason was big into ufology, and he told him about the time that Nixon took him to Homestead Air Force Base when it existed before Hurricane Andrew, and showed him the bodies of some aliens that had crashed here. And the bodies now we think are up at Andrews Air Force Base, which is where they take all sorts of stuff. He kept saying in his book, and also when we were talking, all these things that disappeared, that they took them into that warehouse where the Ark of the Covenant that Indiana Jones found got stored.
Right.
Then he talks about, well, here you see a picture of Judy Resnick. That was his friend. That was his very, very dear friend. And so I asked him in a kind of a roundabout way how really good a friend he was. Boy, he popped up. No, in all my years of marriage, I have never cheated on my wife. Okay, that's fine. Well, then we look at number 6.
That's what
there's
he told you, huh?
Yeah.
That's not exactly what he told
something
me.
Like that. Incidentally, right. You look at number 6, and I've got a different little watermark on there. You can click on that, and all the reviews that Dick Allgaier and I did will pop up, you know, the video reviews, so you can go to that. Then you look at 6A, which is a sad thing. There's an actual photo of the Challenger crew capsule plummeting toward the Earth, and Clark confirmed that they were all alive all the way down. He said they, you know, because they got onboard microphones in the cabin so they could hear everything, and some people were crying, some were praying, some were cursing, but they were, and they were flipping switches to try to get something working all the way down to the water. And then he told me, and he also put in the book, that he and another NASA engineer were standing side by side as they watched it go up, and Clark said to this other engineer, he said, those engines don't sound right, do they? And the other engineer said, no, they sound terrible. And a few seconds later, ba-boom.
All right, let me go back to image 6, the watermark at the top.
Yeah.
When you click on that, it brings up picture 6A, just so you know. Image 7 of 58 altogether.
No, actually, what happens if you click on that, on any picture anywhere, it automatically kicks you to the next one in line.
Yeah, okay, but I thought you said it went to...
Well, you have to download that, I guess. I'm not as smart as the average bear. So you got to download that or type it in, whatever. But that takes you right to all the reviews.
Okay, Dr. J. Manson Valentine.
Right. This guy was a sharp cookie. He traveled all over the world doing expeditions and exploring. And I had wanted to meet him, but this was in the 60s. You didn't have any of the computer stuff at all. And I could never find him, but I read a lot of his stuff. And he believed that the Bahamas were actually Atlantis. Because back in the days when Atlantis was allegedly around, the seas were a lot lower because that was in the midst of an ice age. and there was a lot more of Florida. And the Bahamas, they're very, very shallow.
Right.
Or they're incredibly deep, but they're very, very shallow in most areas. And if you drop the sea 6 to 10 feet, you got a whole mini continent out there. So he claimed to have found a pyramid the size and scope of the Great Pyramid at Cheops in underwater off the west coast of Andros. And from the west coast of Andros, you're right in the Gulf Stream, so it's a quarter mile or a half mile deep. So a 600-foot tall pyramid would be way down there. I never got a chance to see that. But he also talked about, if you go to number 8, the Bimini Road or the Bimini Wall. That he claims,
we don't know how deep those rectangles and squares go. They could go way down.
Somebody said they thought they were 16 feet deep, but we don't know. Nobody's dug into the sand there. But these things are real. I was there. Right. This picture is a much better picture. There's a good-looking girl in a bikini. I was just me. But they're shallow enough, you don't even need tanks. That girl's not wearing scuba. I didn't wear scuba. I just went down, mask, fins, and snorkel.
So you went down there and looked at those? You saw them yourself?
Yes, absolutely. 1977. And you go up. Now, incidentally, you got to remember, if you look into history, Juan Ponce de Leon was looking for the Fountain of Youth, but he wasn't looking just any old place. He was looking for Bimini.
Mm-hmm.
So, was there a Fountain of Youth? Who knows? But
well, this goes. See, Valentine. I remember when this was first revealed in the media. Mm-hmm. This discovery. This goes back to Edgar Cayce. If you read Edgar Cayce and his readings, it was quite clear that Bimini was the location. This was why Valentine even went looking there. I think because of what Cayce said in the 30s.
Right, and I remember in one of my classes, it was an art history class, and I chose to do my paper on the Mayans. And this all ties in with the theory that Bimini or the Bahamas was Atlantis, because the Mayans were nothing but mud hut Indians, and then within a 6-month span, they had the most advanced civilization on the planet. They could do something no Roman could do. They could subtract 10 from 10 and write 0. The Romans didn't even have a character for 0. They had the most accurate astronomical calendars. Mm-hmm. And there is proof that the Phoenicians were coming all the way over to the Yucatan Peninsula to trade with the natives there, to the point where it was supposedly the land of milk and honey. The Phoenician king put a death sentence on anybody who tried to jump ship in the Yucatan area or Atlantis. So, you know, I'm no expert on Atlantis, but I can tell you that Bimini Road, that ain't natural beach rock. You know, some of the detractors say, oh, yeah, that's natural beach rock.
I know.
Yeah.
It's sure. Absurd. They were trying to debunk it back when I first read about it. And I had to be the early 70s or even, I think it might have been before that, because I read it in Edgar Cayce's book.
Okay.
On Atlantis. And he said it's Bimini. So there you go.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of credibility in that. But, you know, who's going to find out? First off, you got to have a ton of money, and you got to have some interest. If you don't have a ton of money, and I mean a ton of money, you're going nowhere in a hurry with it.
Right. So this is these are all from Clark's book, just so you understand.
Yes.
He covered many different things and revealed a lot in there. Every chapter was essentially a revelation of one degree or another, of something new. Okay, there's Wernher von Braun.
right, who was not in charge. Most people think Wernher von Braun was the guy in charge. No, he was the chief scientist and a brilliant, incredibly brilliant man, and apparently a lot of fun from what Clark writes, and you'll read all that in the book. But then let's hop to number 10.
Who was in charge?
Debus.
Dr. Kurt
Debus.
Debus was Hitler's director of rocketry at Peenemünde during the war.
That is correct.
Von Braun was his number one. And,
right.
Part of the prize. And who was the first director of NASA here from 1962 to 73? Dr.
Kurt Debus.
All right. So there you go. Hold on just a minute, and we'll be back and take a look at some more pictures in Clark McClellan's really brilliant assemblage of stunning information. Space, the Final Frontier, Secrets NASA Does Not Want You to Know. Back in a minute.